Praise God, praise God. Give him one more hand clap of praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many is thankful for the journey? Journey hadn't always been pleasant. Amen. But I didn't start out to lose. How about you? Amen. God never promised me a rosy path. He never promised me that I wouldn't have problems and trials and situations. But he did promise this: I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. He's brought me too far. How about you? Glory to God. Too many miles behind me. Too many trials are through. Too many tears help me to remember there's too much to gain to lose. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountain. Too many rivers my feet have walked through. Too many treasures are waiting over yonder. There's too much to gain. Here's a testimony today to tell you God has never let me down. Amen. He's always there. Glory to God. And I appreciate him and I love him so very much. God bless each and every one of you. It's good to see you. Hope that you have a good day. Hope that you've been having a good week. Man, it's just good to know Jesus, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. To know him intimately. To know him, amen, as our Lord and Savior. Sister Karen. Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Dr. Jesus. Amen. He's a specialist in every field. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It still never ceases to amaze me, the miracle performing ability of Almighty God. Amen. If we'll just put our faith and trust in him. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the Psalms, the 36th Psalm of David this morning. I want to read the first four verses. Psalms 36. Hallelujah. If you're blessed, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
If you're really blessed, say praise the Lord louder.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. We got some blessed folks in
here. Amen.
Hallelujah. Psalms 36, verses 1 through 4. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Can we bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for your many, many blessings. For this day that you have given us and this time and opportunity to gather together. Father, I pray your anointing, I pray your blessing, God, in this sanctuary this morning. God, that we'll be led by your Spirit. Pray, God, that you would anoint this vessel. God, anoint these lips of clay. God, to speak to us this morning. That we need to hear. God, your word is so wonderful. Your word is so enriching. Father, I pray, God, that we would listen intently to your word and to your Spirit. God, that we might be submissive and obedient. Father, our heart does go out to those who are suffering, those who are sick, many who are afflicted. And Father, we pray that your healing virtue would touch each and every one of them. Father, have your will and way in this service, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor and the glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Praise God. This morning I want to bring a message entitled, When There Is No Fear. When There Is No Fear. David here starts this particular psalm in recognition of a certain characteristic of a person who does not fear the hand of God or the word of God or the statutes or the precepts of God. And can I tell you, when there is no fear, then there are no restraints. I said, when there's not fear there, there's nothing to keep us from doing those things that the flesh desires to do. David acknowledged this. I want to point out some things this morning, different characteristics, if you might, concerning this particular mindset of the person that David is referring to. Maybe some scholars think that David was referring to himself without the mercy of God. I don't know about you, but without the mercy and grace of God, I'm a mess. Was a mess. Amen. But thank God that he took my mess. He took that unrighteousness. Amen. And even though I was not worthy, even though, amen, that he could have turned his back on me, he didn't. He had mercy on me. He called me to an altar of repentance. He accepted my godly sorrow. He filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He put me on a solid rock. I cannot thank him enough. Maybe David was, in fact, referring to himself without the mercy of God. Whatever the case may be, he listed some very definite characteristics of the mindset of this person. One, he is convinced in his own eyes that his sin won't be found out. Concealment of sin is not the redeeming of sin. In fact, there is no such thing as hidden sin. You may hide it from one another. You may hide it from family members. You may hide it from a number of people for a number of years, but it is not hidden to the one who really means it, and that's God. Amen. God knows and sees all. But this particular mindset is convinced in his own mind that whatever he does, he can conceal it. He can keep it under the rug, so to speak, and not let it get out. And his sin won't be found out. Secondly, his words are sinful and deceitful. There's no truth found in his words. His words and his thoughts are continually about iniquity and sin, and even his tongue is deceitful. Thirdly, he does not adhere to wisdom. Does not listen to wisdom. Does not listen to the right voice that is speaking in his heart. And as I describe this particular mindset, I see it abundantly portrayed and exhibited in our life today. It is amazing how people seemingly have no regard for sinful living and no desire to do better. And as long as they can keep it under their cloak, so to speak, or keep it in their own mindset, then it's all right to do that. But let me tell you something. God knows and sees everything that is done. Amen. And there's going to be an answer. They're going to have to answer to the ways. Amen. I'm thankful in my life that during my life there was restrictions in my life. Not only by the Word of God, when I got old enough and began to read the Word of God and knew that there were certain things and guidelines that I must adhere to, but I thank God for my family. I thank God for my raising, that there were certain restrictions, amen, that were placed upon me. And I may have thought them to be burdensome at the time, but now looking back, I'm so very thankful. And I am thankful for the restrictions that God places on us through his word. He does not adhere to wisdom. Doesn't even try to do good. Doing evil has become a way of life for this person. Constantly deviseth mischief. Constantly evil and mischief is upon his mind. He has set his mind to do wrong. Evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. You know, the Word tells us that when man thoughts were on evil continuously, God sent the flood upon the land. Listen, God will recompense evil. He rejects the fact that evil is bad. He calls his evil good. It's all right. There is a feeling in the world today, if the majority accepts it, it's all right. I don't know where that came from. It didn't come from God's Word. Amen. God doesn't operate like that. Wrong has never been right. That mind, that phrase has been on my mind constantly this week. And no matter if we do wrong and we try to, sweep it under the rug, if we do wrong and we try to, justify it, if we try to make an excuse, there's not enough excuses in the world to make right or to make wrong become right. We can be forgiven for our wrong. Thank God for that. Amen. Aren't you glad that God has mercy upon us? Amen. We can be forgiven. But even forgiveness doesn't make that wrong right. If it was wrong in God's eyes then, it's wrong in God's eyes now. And I wish that society, I wish that we as a people could understand that there are guidelines, there are precepts, there are commandments, there's the Word of God that we must adhere to, regardless of what man says, regardless of what popularity says, regardless of what some great author says. If it doesn't measure up, if it doesn't stand the test of the Word of God, amen, then we're not supposed to have anything to do with it. We're supposed to believe the Word of God. When there is no fear, there is no fear. Fear has always been a deterrent. And when you take the deterrent away,
When you take the thing that causes us to be accountable away, you take it away, then it gives that person almost the freedom to do whatever that person wants to do. And that's the mindset of a lot of people in the world today. They have taken the grace of God and they stepped all over it. Amen. We have abused the mercy and grace of God. Thank God for His mercy and grace. But it was never intended for a ticket to sin in this world. Amen. It was never intended for us to disobey the Word of God. It was intended because God knew that we were human. And because we're human, we're subject to failure. But even though we're subject to failure, does not make wrong right. Wrong is still wrong in the eyes of God. Whether I accept it, you accept it, or political correctness accepts it, it's still wrong according to the Word of God. And when there's no fear of being wrong, you see what is transpiring in the world today. People are running rampant. Evil is continually taking over. I believe that there needs to be a revival. I need to believe that there needs to be a return to the old past. I believe that we as churches, we as ministers, we as children of God, need to seek the Word of God and proclaim the Word of God, whether it's politically correct or whether a majority accepts it or not. When there is no fear, sin becomes rampant. When there is no fear and there are no restraints, then one is given that opportunity to do and act as they wish. Let me tell you something. Thank God that I'm saved. Thank God that His Spirit lives within me. But listen, if I didn't have any restraints, there's no telling what my flesh might lead me to do. I'm being just as honest and sincere as I possibly can. Thank God for that is within me. Thank God for that mercy and grace. Thank God for that awesome respect that I have of the Almighty Father. Amen. Thank God that I love Him so much. Amen. Not only there's a word in the Hebrew language. It talks about fear, but it's not only the fear and trembling of God's word. It is the utmost absolute respect of God's word too. Amen. I told the story of my dad, and when I was just a little bitty boy, you know, Dad would. Put His authority, and we feared that authority. But when we got to be teenagers and all, and actually when I was even bigger than my dad, it was not a fear and trembling, but it was total respect. When my daddy spoke to me and told me to do something, I did it without question. Why? Because I was raised in the fact, amen, that His word was the authority. America, God's word is still the authority. Yes. First Pentecostal Church, God's word is still the authority. Those that are trying to get by with doing different things according to the word of God, God's word is still the authority. You can come to the pastor and the pastor can pat you on the back and say, that's okay. But if it's against God's word, His word overshadows my authority. His word is the preeminence over everybody's opinion. When there is no fear, there is no fear. I see people today committing crimes, and the punishment is to put them in an air-conditioned place and feed them three good meals a day. Let them play basketball. Let them work out and build up their muscles. Let them do watch color television, big screen TV. There is no recompense. I'm not heartless. God is not heartless. But listen, society without restraints, amen, will do the terrible things that the flesh desires to do. There needs to be justification. There needs to be justice in the world today. And I believe that we've got to a point, amen, where it's just do what you want to do. It doesn't matter. And you have the free will to do whatever you want to do. I don't read that in the Word of God. I believe that we are subject to a higher power. I believe that God is over us in every way. We need to adhere to His Word, live by His Word, treat one another the way that Jesus treated them. Love your brothers as Jesus has loved you. Love one another. Forgive one another. Even those that despitefully use you, forgive them too. Amen. God's word is what we must live by. David describes the mindset of the wicked, the evil who transgresses, disregards any and all restrictions. Amen. It's a subtle thing. It's a very subtle thing. You know, I don't know exactly what year it was. I don't know exactly what era it was. But somewhere along the line, fudging became acceptable. It did. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands if you've ever fudged. Everybody's got driver's license in here. Need I say anymore? When did 35 miles an hour become 40? Because it's justified. Some man said, well, they'll allow you. Then why put 35? Put 40. If that's what you're going to allow, put 40. But you know what will happen? If they put 40, we'll take 45. 55 means 60 to 65. Any police officer knows that. When there is no fear. I've seen shirts, t-shirts says no fear. If you have one, that's all right. I'm not going to wear one because there's fear in here. Amen. I don't know what that no fear is. It's to do anything you want to. But listen, there is fear every time I pick up the Word of God. There is fear every time I bow my knees. There is fear every time I ask, Lord, God, would you have me to do this today? Lord, I want to be led by your Spirit. There is total and absolute fear. Amen. Because I know that there is recompense. I know, amen, that I've sinned and will have to answer for that. That's the reason I'm so careful, amen, to Lord. Let there be a sweet spirit in me. Let there be a right spirit in me, God. Lord, create within me that right spirit. Search me, God, and remove anything that is not godly to you. Because we fudge. We fudge. Oh, God will understand. One of the things that I really hate to hear when somebody says, well, the Bible doesn't really mean that. That's the same person who drives 60 on the 55. Or 70. Or 80. See, that's the thing. 60 might be all right, but as long as we get by, we will go 65. And it's not just on the highways, it's on all these other things. Do not touch. We'll touch it. And then get aggravated because we've got wet paint on our fingers. Do not touch. Stay off the grass. Unless you want to take a shortcut and not walk all the way around the sidewalk. There's no fear. There's places, amen, that are designed for people to walk across. Pedestrians. I ain't walking down that crossing the hand. There's no fear. Let me tell you what it seeped into. It seeped into the churches. It seeped into the pulpits. I can't preach that strong for fear of losing my congregation. I can't preach that straight and narrow way because people don't want to hear that. Listen, let me tell you something. When John the Baptist preached, he didn't water it down. When Jesus was asked a question, he didn't compromise. The Word will stand on its own. It doesn't need me to water it down. It doesn't need me to add to it. It needs me to understand it and convey it to the congregation and let you know that sin has to be answered for. Sin has to be made atonement for. I can't atone you, but Jesus Christ can. The blood of Jesus, amen, can wash the sins away, can wash the wrongdoings away. But there's no fear. There's no fear. Remember first grade. I don't remember what I had for breakfast this morning, but I remember first grade. I remember first day of school, and I had Miss Duncan. Miss Duncan. Now, let me describe Miss Duncan. Probably.
probably 375 to 400 pounds.
That's the way I describe it. Very huge woman, short hair, mean temperament. First day of school, she shows us a paddle, a wooden paddle that she kept in her desk. That was back when you could paddle kids. And if you went home and told mom and daddy about it, they didn't call the teacher, they paddled you in. Back when there was fear. Can I tell you that I had perfect attendance in the first grade? Can I tell you that she never had to use the paddle on me? You must have been a good child. No, I was a fearful child. There was no goodness in me. It ain't because I wanted to do that. It ain't because I wanted to run in the hall. It ain't because I wanted to squeal. It ain't because I wanted to talk. But I knew she had me. I saw it. Amen. And I thought to myself, I don't want to suffer that. But just the mere fact of the day that she had a paddle in her desk drawer gave me strength. Because I had a fear. Come on. Listen, God is love. We know that. Amen. His mercy is beyond our ability even to comprehend or fathom. But understand that it is His way. We must adhere to His commandments. Amen. There has to be a fear there. There has to be an understanding that if we err, we got to get it right. Amen. And the only way to get it right is to come with a broken and contrite spirit to the Lord and do His commandments and do His will. Because David pointed out, this type of person disregards authority. This type of person disregards any type of judgment. This type of person has purposed in his heart and in his mind, I can do anything I want to, and I don't have to have any consequences. And folks, I want to be honestly blatant with you this morning. We're raising a generation to think that way. There's no consequences. There's no consequences. Do what you want to do. Amen. And I'm not just picking on this generation. I know my mother probably thought the same thing about the generation that she was raising. But there has to be respect and fear and obedience and submissiveness to the Word of God. It has to be.
Yes.
Whether David was talking about himself before he knew God, or he was talking about the people that he had saw, he had seen enemies, he had seen people that had a total disregard of God's word. We see it today. We see it today. We're living in a time, and I've heard people say this, you can't believe any of them. You know, they'll say you ever kind of thing. And even if they're caught red-handed, so to speak, they'll deny it. There's no fear. And the crimes that are being committed today, seemingly there's no fear. It doesn't matter. They used to wear a hood over their head. Now they just show up. Don't care. There's no fear. They catch me out in 7 years on good behavior, maybe three. God, that I was raised that, listen, there's certain things you don't do. That's fearful. Very fearful. Amen. Let me tell you, at a very young child, my mother and my grandmother both, Mama and I, Sister Baby, bless her heart, she caused me to almost get a crick in my neck. She told me that the Lord was walking behind me everywhere I went. I wasn't even in first grade. I'm like twisting my neck all trying to find Jesus. Never get to see. I'd slip up, I'd try to see him there, and I'd do something, I'd turn around there. One day I was out swinging, and I saw my shadow, and I slowed down to see if I could see Jesus' shadow. But anyway, why'd you tell me that? Because it was instilled in my mind at a very early age. The man that I need to be careful of God. Thank God I need to be careful. My mind told me, God sees everything you do. And I know she was being religious, but I also know she'd been lazy. Come on. You get a child and you tell him, God seeing everything you do, you don't have to run to the window if he's out there in the yard playing. Hello. Because God when I come in, she said, God watches you. God sees everything you do. Boy, you talk about trying to be a good kid. Sure, I slip up. Sure, I would. I'd run in the shadows and try to hide a little bit. Hopefully God was taking that, wouldn't see it. And listen, I'm all right with that. I'm all right with that because I need restraint. I know me. I need restraint. I need to be governed by the Word of God. I need to be submissive and obedient. I try to use those words in every prayer that I pray. The reason I use those words is to remind me that I do need to be submissive and obedient to the will of God. Not my will, not anybody else's will, but the will of God. Because that's the one that I'm going to have to answer to. That's the one when I close my eyes at night and I go to sleep and I say, Lord, help me make it through this night. I want to make sure that the slate is clean. I want to make sure that if I've done or said anything that day, I want to get it right before the sun goes down. I want to get it right before I turn my head over on the pillow and go to sleep at night. Why? Because I do know that there is a judgment. I do know that there is a fear of God, and thank God for that fear that He has placed in me. Amen. Not because I'm afraid He's going to beat me up, afraid He's going to knock me out. Amen. I'm just afraid not to obey the Word of God. Amen. Because I've come too far. Amen. Too many miles behind me. Too many rivers across. Too many treasures are waiting over yonder. Amen. I've come too far. Amen. Too much to gain to lose now. And as David conveyed all of these characteristics of this person whose mindset is, it even rejects the fact that evil is bad. Even in my childhood, I knew that evil wasn't good. I knew sometimes and when I would get over the line a little bit, but even as a young child, I knew that there were certain things that absolutely were off limits. But David saw in this person, in this characteristic, that he doesn't even feel that he was bad. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a lie from hell. Just because I don't see any wrong in it doesn't mean it's not against the Word of God. People have used that too. Oh, that's not wrong. That's all right. Listen, what's all right in man's eyes may not be all right in God's eyes.
That's right.
Is that okay? Everyone, I'm shouting. We're not running. Amen. But if you got the fear of God, you'll shout and run.
Amen.
Glory to God. The fear of God, you don't mind coming to Him and asking Him. Amen. You don't mind saying, Lord, search me and know my heart, God. Create within me a right spirit. Amen. Because I want that fear. Because I have to have that restraint. I have to have that acknowledgement that I want to walk up pleasing to God. Not pleasing to man. Not even pleasing to myself, but pleasing to God. David said he just rejects the fact that evil is bad. There's some folks you just can't convince. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody's doing it. He does it. She does it. You know what my mama used to say when I tell her that? She said, I ain't his mama. Your mama. Her mama? As long as you in this house. As long as you under this roof. It's pretty nice in that house and in that room. I think about sleeping out under the stars. I'm going to do that. Going hungry. That's okay, man. Okay, you're right. Amen. There was a certain restraint. Just like the paddle in the desk. Just like the Bible. Amen. Let me tell you something. If you want to find out whether it's right or wrong, go to the Word of God. Search the Scriptures.
Yes, amen.
Don't argue with the Scriptures. Don't try to flip in there and find one you like. Amen. Y'all laughing like you done it. I have.
There's some good ones in there.
Ooh, the promises. Blessed. Whoa, there's some commandments in there. There's some holy living in there. There's some submissiveness in there. There's some righteousness in there. God. I don't know about you, but I believe we're supposed to take the whole word.
Amen.
Man, live by the whole word.
Amen.
And in that word, there's restraints. David acknowledged that. But then David has a streak of humbleness in his writing. And then whether or not he's describing himself or describing someone else, all of a sudden he thinks about, yes, there are restraints. Yes, there is recompense. Yes, there is a higher authority. Yes, there is a fearful God. Amen. To be feared and respected. But then he changes and he begins to write this. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. He suddenly begins to realize that in all of our faults, in all of our failures, in all of the evil, in all of the things that we've been disobedient, there is mercy, there is grace, there is forgiveness of the Father. The sternness in his eye, the sternness in his hand, amen, is overshadowed by the love in his heart. If we come with a broken and contrite spirit, and we acknowledge our sin, and we acknowledge our transgression, and we ask for mercy and forgiveness, and we quit trying to hide it, come on, and we quit trying to conceal it, and we quit trying to justify it. I have known David understood. He understood repenting. Yeah, he repented many, many times. And then he went on to say, thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness. O God, therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. In verse 9, I highlighted it. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Hello? In thy light shall we see light. If I'm not walking in his light, I'm not seeing light. I'm seeing darkness. I'm seeing evil. When I'm walking in my own light, I'm walking in my self-gratification, my self-justification, then I'm not walking in the light of the Lord. But when I'm walking in his light, then I see the light. Thank God for his light. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace. Oh, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. And then verse number 11 says, let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. So maybe David does see some of that in his own self, some of that in his own being. And he describes the mercy, grace, and loving kindness of God, the light of God. And then he acknowledges to God, God, don't let me get out of that light. Because I can't walk without the light. I can't make it without you. Help me to be submissive. Help me to be obedient. Help me to see the light and to walk in the light. Because those that are fallen, those are the workers of iniquity, and shall not be able to rise. You cannot rise within yourself. I could not pick myself up. I could not make myself live a better life. I could not make myself be saved. I could not make myself be born again. I had to come to the light. I had to come to Jesus Christ. But rather you remember. Remember the life that you gave wrong to Jesus. Every evil, every thought, every sin, every transgression, every disobedience, everything that was unrighteous in your mind and in your heart, what a load it was. Amen. Just gave it all to Jesus. Glory to God. And now I'm walking in the light. Amen. Thank God that there is fear. I don't know what this t-shirts. It says no fear. And I don't know what it's talking about. But I do have fear. I have fear of the judgment of God. I have fear of the recompense. I know his love. I know his grace. I know his mercy. Thank God he's my Savior. Amen. And I want to be found. read his word to say exactly what it is, and I'll obey that word. I don't want to change it. I don't want to get anybody's advice on what does this mean, what does that mean. God, if you like understanding, then that's the thing. God, guide me in the way that I should go. Glory to God. Because I come to the Lord. Amen. There's too much in me to lose. Be loved, Jesus. Be loved, His word. Love His word. Know His word. Understand His word. Seek His word. Man, not just at church, not just at Bible study, but in your own time. Seek the word of God, because in His word there'll be His will. In His word there will be restraints. Listen, I talked about restraints, amen, but there's also blessings.
Amen.
And there's deliverance, and there's freedom. Amen. The freedom way overshadows the restraints here. The freedom that the Lord has given us through the washing away of our sins. What if we couldn't have our sins washed away? We'd have to live with that fact. What if we had to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give Him an excuse and a reason for everything to get done? Thank God for His grace. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's be attentive.